What's going on, everybody? Welcome in. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show alongside Gino Camilleri. It's one of our flagship episodes of the show, Gino. Stock up, stock down, week four edition. We got one more show here to revel in that 34-27 win at Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers last week to get to 2-2. And then we will move on to the New York Jets tomorrow. What was it, Gino? I think the Eagles are 13.5-point favorites heading into week five.
It's a solid football number at 14 right now.
Okay, all right. So we're going to get into that one. Don't worry. The Eagles have a very favorable matchup. We'll get into the matchups of the game, everything about it, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday right here on Locked On Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Our lead story today brought to you by DoorDash. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our Locked On Eagles listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code Locked On. Gino, the lead story here today, the Eagles, according to Chris Mortensen of ESPN, this is the first time me and you have talked about the Jalen Ramsey trade scenario over and over again on this podcast, talking about the effects of it, you know, the players that are on the team right now, how they just can't rely on them from a consistent performance standpoint, from an injury standpoint. But this is, and we've heard, you know, the Jaguars declined a offer of two first-round picks, it seemed, last week. But here we are with a legitimate source, or at least, you know, a legitimate reporter saying he has a source in Chris Mortensen, linking the Eagles to Ramsey with an actual offer of a first-round pick and a second-round pick. And right now it seems the Jaguars just are not willing to deal. But this instills hope in me that this is a legitimate thing, that we're not just blowing smoke, that the Eagles are interested in Jalen Ramsey. And if Ramsey forces their hand, maybe tells them that he's just not going to sign there long-term and he is done with them, and Shad Khan eventually stands down, that this could be something that actually happens this season and very soon.
Yeah, you would think that in the course to act in urgency, especially with the situation at cornerback right now, would be something that the Eagles wanted to pounce on. And the news around the NFL is that from multiple different outlets, which makes me believe that when there's a lot of different smoke from a lot of different places, that there actually is fire around this. Because Yesterday, Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, who's a very credible source, and then today with Chris Mortensen, both talked about the Eagles being front runners, both having heavy interest. Who was it? Florio the other day said that the Eagles were going to try the next couple days to, quote, pry Jalen Ramsey away from the Jaguars, which is making it seem that way right now, because Shad Khan, the owner, stepped in and did what the owner should do, because Jalen Ramsey's a franchise-type player, and to move players like that, the owner should have some input. But if Jalen Ramsey means what he said and he lost respect for that organization and he continues to find excuses to sit out, it'll be very intriguing if he sits out of practice tomorrow. That'll be very something to keep an eye on. And it's something that Howie Roseman, he knows he has to do and address that cornerback position, because as of right now, you have Rasul Douglas, then Craig James, who played one snap, and Orlando Scandrick, who hasn't played a meaningful snap since last season. So you have three guys, that one of which is serviceable, has probably been the best cornerback on this team, but the other two are question marks. Yes, you are going in against a bad Jets team, but after that, three consecutive road games, and then you come back home against the Bears, man, you got to do something and quick, because you still have to face Amari Cooper twice. You're still going to have to match up against your old friend in Golden Tate. You're going to have to match up against the speedy John Brown in Buffalo. You have to get help at cornerback, and your reinforcements aren't coming back anytime soon. Maddox is week to week. Darby's week to week. Sid is week to week. Cravon LeBlanc is on the IR. Jalen Mills is on the PUP. You are not going to roll in past week five. The Jets, you can get past them. You are a 14-point favorite. But it is the NFL, and man, the way they've been allowing yards in the air, they have to bring in somebody, whether it's Jalen Ramsey, whether it's Chris Harris, whether it's Will Jackson, maybe a guy like an old friend in Patrick Robinson, or You try to pry somebody away from a team that's just buried on the depth chart, but you have to do something. I just I've tweeted it the past 2 days, and how are they going to go into Sunday with three healthy cornerbacks? One they just signed off the practice squad last week, and one they just signed off of the couch. So I'm really – Howie needs to do something tomorrow to ease my nerves, because I'm really getting anxiety every time I go on Twitter and I don't see a move happening.
Yeah, and I hope this is the move that actually happens. And I agree with you. With Shad Khan's perspective, this is an elite cornerback that hasn't even really entered his prime yet. With a team that is now 2-2 in the Jaguars, they're in a four-way tie in the AFC South. So it makes sense that you would want to try to make it work instantly. The first couple weeks, he probably, yeah, even though he requested a trade, he would probably be untouchable. From an Eagles perspective, they're going to need Ramsey, like you said, to stop practicing with the team. Pretty much force their hand and say, I'm moving on regardless. You can hang on to me this year. You can even try to do your tags and, you know, pick up the fifth-year option and that kind of stuff. But I have moved on mentally from this team, and the next time I'm playing football is with another team. And I think Ramsey's a guy that would eventually do that. He played with the Jaguars on Thursday night against Tennessee 2 weeks ago. This week, he, you know, there's a bunch of excuses. One, he eventually did end up leaving Jacksonville to go with his wife, I believe, to, you know, he was having a kid. So... But now, it's up in the air. Now, okay, you saw the health excuses. And I don't want to even call them excuses. They might very well have been valid. But you, all of that stuff, you know, you did see that those were factors. And also, the birth. So now, all of that is past. Now what does he do? That's the part that I'm really, really interested in. Yeah, it's a really big day to know where Ramsey is with this, how hard he is going to push for this. But from an Eagles perspective, yeah, they can't stay healthy. They're too inconsistent. Rasul Douglas, I think, is really good as your CB2, as long as you make sure he's not getting paired up with fast receivers. But even Douglas, like, as your top corner, that's not going to get it done when a guy like John Brown comes to town, when a guy like Terry McLaurin comes to town. You need a CB1, and with the injuries and all of that, it's just, yeah, they really need to make this work. So I think a first and second – sign me up for that. I think me and you have come to the conclusion at this point that we're both right, or we're both okay with even two firsts. I'm willing to do that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think two firsts is more than okay as a requirement to bring in a all-pro player that's in coming up on the prime of his career. Because if you look at draft capital and look at what, let's say, for example, the Saints gave up to go up and get a guy like Marcus Davenport. They gave a first-round pick for a guy that was a very unfinished pass rusher, somebody that had question marks even if he would be drafted in the first round. But the team fell in love with him with a question mark. They fell in love with a question mark. Jalen Ramsey is a known commodity. That's like if somebody told you the night before Bitcoin spiked to $20,000 that you could give up $9,000 and buy a single Bitcoin and you will make $11,000 in less than 24 hours. That's what two first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey is. You are going for two question marks in back-to-back seasons that you don't even know how long it'll take to develop them, and you don't even know if your window will be open still to win a Super Bowl, but you'd rather take those two question marks, cash them in for a guy like Jalen Ramsey, who is now a known commodity, comes in here and is that big payoff. He is that 20,000K of Bitcoin. He is that Apple stock split. He is everything that you want. He is the grand slam, and that's Howie Roseman. That's going to be his icing on the cake, and that if he can acquire him, there's nothing that man can't do. But we're both on the same page. Two first-round picks for a guy of his level. You see what Khalil Mack has done to that Chicago team. Imagine what Jalen Ramsey can do to this Eagles team that has a defense to go along with a great offense.
And that is your lead story today, brought to you by DoorDash right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. The Eagles offer a first and second round pick, seemingly, according to Chris Mortensen of ESPN, for Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey. Coming up, we got Stock Up, Stock Down, Week 4 edition. This is Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri. And guys, we're also brought to you today by MyBookie. At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. Game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing and go to MyBookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sports book. Don't Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and mybookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play, and it's where you should too. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet on football this season, bet with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use our promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. We'll be right back with Stock Up, Stock Down. All right, everybody, welcome back into this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri in studio. We're going to start with the positives, Gino. I'm still feeling really good about that win, and I think with the Jets coming up, it's nice to still revel in that, because if Sam Darnold doesn't play, they're going to play Luke Falk. I feel like that's a game that they should win handily. So we'll take one more day here to focus on that Packers win, and then tomorrow we'll move on to Jets week. And I'll start it up here with Stock Up, and I know the Football Outsiders and Pro Football Focus numbers, the efficiency, the breaking tackle numbers, they don't look great for running back Miles Sanders, but I think he has improved drastically over the last 2 weeks. He's averaging over 4 yards a carry, 6.5 yards per carry last week. He really, since DeSean Jackson's been out, he has been their source of explosive plays. He has had plays of that 65-yard kickoff return. He's had a 40-yard reception, a 28-yard reception, a 30-yard run. For me, I thought his decisions were better again, made some great cuts outside, inside, holding corners on outside contain. I think he's been good in pass protection. Look, yes, he's got to get better at breaking tackles. I think he's making still too many cuts even when he gets upfield. There's a few plays, including that 30-yard run, where it would have been longer if he just used his speed instead of hesitating and trying to cut. So, you know, there was another play where he made two great cuts to get outside and then had the sliver of daylight, and he could have tried to get skinny and explode through it, but instead hesitated a little bit. So, yes, he is still much a work in progress, and the numbers don't look great yet for Sanders, but I went back on the film, watched the last 2 weeks, and I'm still pretty encouraged. I still would say his stock is up compared to where it was, you know, with the fumbles last week and with the inefficiency week two against Atlanta.
As a rookie, you want to see them bounce back from adversity, and I think Miles stepped up in a big way. They were tasked with that running game to dominate that game. They knew that it wasn't going to be easy to open things up in the passing game because, one, they were without DeSean Jackson, and two, that's a very good Packers secondary. But once they exposed the run game and they knew that they had efficiency on the ground, they can open things up. And yeah, stock up to Miles Sanders, but on the same element, even though I didn't list them as stock up to Jordan Howard too, because his numbers and efficiency numbers just continue to rise each game, game in and game out. And Sanders, he's starting to pass the eye test, which is good. You're starting to see those decisions, like you said, that he wouldn't have made week one, and now he is making in week four. He's getting skinny, getting through those holes, getting north and south, and that's something you love to see from him. Not seeing him dance around, but when he needs to dance around, he gets outside and he can create those explosive plays and just continue to get involved any way he can. His all-purpose numbers right now are looking very good. He's above 450 yards, if I'm not mistaken, all-purpose, which is very good for a rookie in four games, and it helps that he's in the kick return game, and that's what you got to do. Any way you could contribute as a rookie, special teams in the backfield, you got to set the tone. And being a second-round pick, that's huge to go and see him out there on special teams and ignite a flame under that team. And without that return, I really don't think they had a chance to be in that game. So that was huge for them. So absolutely, I'm with you. Stock up for Miles Sanders for sure.
I like that you brought up Jordan Howard as stock up as well, because you know what's interesting? Despite his size, at Chicago, he really struggled actually with breaking tackles. Not this year. For me, I mean, I would almost be cool with a contract extension at this point. If Sanders still becomes the guy that gets 55, 60% of the workload, but you have Howard as that RB2, I really like Howard as that thunder to the Sanders lightning. I mean, those two have stolen my heart away from Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount in that 2017 Magic. I really like that combo, and I thought Howard has been great in the red zone. He's been breaking tackles, more versatile than maybe we gave him credit for. So I like that you brought up Howard. I think his stock certainly is up.
Absolutely, and you look at him, what they do, and when you think of Jordan Howard, rather, you think you're going to run up the gut. He's going to be a north-south runner, one-cut directional runner, but how they've been using him has really been throwing teams off. I mean, you look at that screen pass nobody was suspecting that, and he breaks off that big screen because Jordan Howard isn't a guy that's going to be expected to catch passes, but the way that they implement him into this offense and get him to use his skill set in a way that they can expose defenses, if you look back at this Green Bay game, that was a prime example of it, because not only can he get north-south, but if you give him time, his patience in the pass game, like you saw the other day, that's going to be huge. So just continue to get him comfortable in that offense, get him used to catching passes. I know that hasn't been his strong suit in Chicago, and even in Philly, he does have some drops. But just continue to get those guys comfortable, and I think you're going to continue to see them blend and see where they fit best in this offense.
I think it's pretty obvious, but, I mean, Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson in this offense, they're stock up. I mean, their play calling has been great. They're starting faster the last 2 weeks. Even despite the slow starts the first couple weeks of the year and the injuries resulting in drops, offensive pass interferences, the Eagles are still fourth in touchdown drive efficiency this year. They're the best third down offense in the league, 56% compared to 41% last year. They were number two in 2017 at 44%. They're the fourth best team in the red zone, 69% compared to 59% last year. Wentz right now is the number one ranked Pro Football Focus quarterback. I think he's looked better to start the year than he did to start the 2017 season. I mean, even the number, like, there was an awesome stat from Ruben Frank, Gino, that Wentz is the 14th quarterback ever to throw three touchdowns and no picks while beating the Packers at Lambeau. I mean, you can't, to me, have a better start than Wentz has had, and Peterson has bounced back play-calling-wise the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, without a doubt, and one final follow-up on Miles Sanders. I forgot to mention this when I bookmarked it from Warren Sharp at Sharp Football, one of my favorite follows. Miles Sanders, he is number one with kickoff return average at 28.8, and he's number nine in 8.4 yards per attempt. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, the things are looking up for the young kid. You love to see it, and I think he's only going to continue to explode. And I said that he reminded me sometimes of Ronald Jones, and if you saw some of those explosive runs Ronjo broke off this weekend against the Rams, I could absolutely see Sanders doing the same thing. Like, when he gets to the second level and just hits the open field, he does have to start making guys miss. That is one big thing that's been driving me nuts. Like, he got tackled by the kicker. That drove me insane. But he'll continue to get it, man. He's gotten better every single game, and I'm right there with you. I love that the kid's getting the bulk of the workload, and Howard is just getting his reps when he's hot. I love what they did last game there.
Well, and that's what the thing is with Sanders. I'm optimistic that that's going to come, the broken tackles, being able to evade guys, because that's what he did at Penn State. I mean, he was one of the top running backs at force missed tackles, yards after contact. I think he has great contact balance. It's just, I think the mental gears are just working a little too hard, where sometimes, again, he makes two great cuts, one inside, then he bounces it to the outside, and then he's got like one guy to beat, and instead of using his speed and explosion, like he is a good athlete. He's not some slow running back for sure. I mean, he's not 4.3 speed, but he has explosiveness. A lot of time then he stalls a little bit and tries to make him, you know, miss with his footwork. And while he is great at doing that, sometimes just hit the hole and go. You know, you're a bigger running back. You can shed contact, and sometimes you just got to use your speed and athleticism and power. I think it is going to come for sure from Sanders. Gino, before we take a break, anybody else on your stock up list? I mean, Wentz, Peterson, Howard, Sanders. I think the offense in general was just such a treat to watch how good they were on Thursday.
Yeah, I think you could toss the offensive line in there for sure. They really dominated that game. The tight ends, oh, that duo.
Oh, Dallas Goedert, man. The blocking is just elite.
World-class domination from everybody along that front. And I tweeted this the other day, and I can't remember which game it was, but this was probably early 2010s. There was a game that the Eagles were down. They were down to five active linemen. And they said that if one more lineman were to get hurt, Brent Celek would have gone in as the emergency offensive guard or tackle. If that were to happen in modern day and Dallas Goedert were to have to play on the offensive line, I think he gives you a chance. Like, the kid is a hell of a blocker, man. Like, what he did the other day on every type of block that you could imagine, it just bowling over 300-pound defensive tackles, taking on anybody, and then going out and running routes, all without being 100% healthy with that calf injury, is just crazy to me. He is so good in what he does, and we just don't appreciate it enough because we see Zach Ertz and just how elite he is. And then it's like, man, we had this already almost elite player in Dallas Goedert who's evolving in front of our eyes every single game and just getting better and better and better. It's just truly remarkable to watch those two go to work. And this is just get those two to continue to blend and continue to mesh for as long as you can keep both of them here under contract. And that's going to be the best tight end duo ever, without a doubt.
Yeah, they put on a clinic in the receiving game. Ertz was great. He made the All-Pro Football Focus team of the week. And Dallas Goedert, like you said, you pretty much said it all. That combo is just lethal with how good that offensive line is, especially in the run game. All right, that is stock up. We got stock down coming up.
Hang on. I got to mention one more guy. And he's kind of gone under the radar. Rodney McLeod. He had the game. Like,
I talked about it all day on the podcast yesterday, man. He was so instrumental and underrated in that win.
9 tackles, 6 solo, 1 pass deflection, and that just doesn't even tell the whole story with nobody ever getting behind him. And that's one thing looking at Eagles safeties that's kind of gotten away from them the past couple years. You see like guys like Corey Graham and Sendejo just make boneheaded plays and seeing coverages break down. When Rodney McLeod is in the game, things are executed at such a high level. The zone is able to run efficiently, even though there are some chunk plays that are broken off. But that's the point of the bend-don't-break defense that Jim Schwartz liked to run. And Rodney McLeod has that elite range to get from the center of the field to the boundary. At the blink of an eye, the man just assesses the play. Before the ball is even out of the quarterback's hands, he knows where the routes are going to be. His football IQ is off the charts, and that safety tandem of Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod is unbelievable. And it's really crazy to me that Rodney McLeod took a pay cut before the season began, because his skill level right now is at the top of what I have seen him in an Eagles uniform. He is playing next level, and he's going to be instrumental him staying healthy for this defense to make a deep run. And if you could just bring a cornerback in and allow McLeod to continue to play his natural safety and play that single high safety, this Jim Schwartz defense can actually come together. And those pressure numbers that are off the charts right now will turn into sacks. Those coverages will turn into interceptions. Those plays when you can have two guys going to the ball, swarming to the football, will turn into fumbles. Just, you have to bring in somebody on the boundary to allow everybody else in this defense to play the position that they are meant to. Because Rodney McLeod, when he looked out of position, was in man coverage because they were out of cornerbacks and they had to bring him down into one-on-one coverage. But when he could stay back there, play in zone, flush out the deep and intermediate areas, he's one of the top 10 safeties in the NFL, and those two together are a top 4 safety duo in the league.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. Rodney McLeod, stock certainly up. All right, that is stock up. We're going to take a quick break. Coming up next, stock down. This is Locked On Eagles. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are wrapping up this Tuesday edition of the show. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri. So, stock up. We went through Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson, the likes of Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, Rodney McLeod, those bad boys at tight end, Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. There was a lot of positives from that Thursday night win, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Stock down, Gino. Let's get into it. For me to start, and it's not anything really he did, and it never really ever is about this guy, but running back Darren Sproles, he has not really since week one, when me and you were really getting on the offensive game plan of just featuring him way too much. Since then, it's really been the Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard show. I mean, they have shown great versatility in both the run game, the passing game for Sanders, kickoff returning, and because of that, Sproles really has not been used much. I just feel like he hasn't really made a play since week one.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we want him to be, and I don't think it's really so much of a stock down as it's so much of a benefit that the other guys are performing at the level you wanted them to. It's because now you are comfortable with them, and I didn't really think Doug was comfortable with the other guys, and he kind of leaned on Darren Sproles a little too much week one, and then he kind of gained that trust from Miles. He started to gain that trust from Jordan, and things started to equal out, and I just think that's the equilibrium we were going to see as they continue to get comfortable with the running backs. And Darren Sproles getting one touch I'm fine with that every single game. I'm good with him returning punts. That's where he excels. But if you can get him involved a little bit more in, like, the chess match game plan, like, not even getting him in touches, but getting him in matchups against linebackers and just flushing guys out of the middle of the field would be great. But I'm right there with you. They just didn't seem to use him at all last game, which is kind of shocking. And how they use the running backs just makes – it has no rhyme or reason. It is one of the things that, as much as we would love to say we know a lot about Doug Peterson and his coaching staff, I still know nothing about how they go about executing their running back by committee.
Trust me, I don't either. And, you know, Miles Sanders and I.
Somebody,
look,
please inform us. If you guys have a rational, like, opinion, please tell us, because
well,
we
I'm
would
surprised.
Love to know.
I'm surprised no media member has ever asked him, like, A, what are the benefits of running back by committee? How do you go about your rotation? When do you decide to put in certain guys over others? Why, when a running back is really killing it, do you pull him? I mean, yeah, you would think at this point the media would ask him that, but at least it's getting better where. It is more so they're realizing, okay, Sanders and Howard, they're our top two backs. We're going to ride with them. But even there's times where, like, Sanders is killing it and Howard comes in, or Howard's killing it and they put Sanders back. And it's like you said, there really is no rhyme or reason to the rotation or why they do the running back position the way they go about it. But Sproles, nothing that he did. I think it's just stocked down from his own perspective because he's not really getting – more opportunities like he was week one. I think it's a positive, but for him, it's certainly stock down. Gino, our guy, Sidney Jones. And it's not, again, I think he has had a great start to the 2019 season.
I'm ready to bury the hatchet
on this
one, man.
It stinks, and I don't want to because it does, because you see the talent, you see the plays being made, and just he can't kick these soft tissue problems. And I'm sorry, but like, I don't have any faith that he'll ever get past this at this point.
You know, that's one of my fears, is seeing cornerbacks be exposed with weak hamstrings. Yep. I talk about it all the time. The Leotis McKelvin game, Sidney Jones game last year, the Eric Rowe game. Like, it's something that cannot happen. And just Ronald Darby, you saw what happened to him the first couple weeks when he wasn't healthy. Like, don't put a not healthy cornerback out there at all. Like, these guys need to be on the field. And Sidney Jones, they invested a second round pick in you, and just things have not worked out ever since that Achilles injury. And hey, on some of those injuries, like Jaylon Smith, like, they work out. Other times, like Sidney Jones, they don't. The talent is there. Like, you see it. He played great. He was making tackles this season. We were talking him up, but the best reliability is availability. It's the number one, just like, niche, corny quote in coaching, but it is truer than anything. If the guy can't stay on the field when there are no other cornerbacks other than Craig James and Avante Maddox, who we didn't know would go out in that game, but ended up going out, when you needed a guy to step up, and we talked about it, which cornerback was going to step up, stock up Rasul Douglas, stock 6 feet under right now, Sidney Jones. I just don't know how this front office is going to begin to trust him. Jim Schwartz just doesn't seem to ever want to, like, give him the job. Even in the beginning of the season, it took a Ronald Darby injury to even get Sidney Jones on the field for the most part. So, man, I am the biggest Sidney Jones advocate. He was my guy. I think we both agree that we both like his play, but if he can't stay on the field, if he's going to be a liability, you can't have that at the cornerback position. That's just cornerback and wide receiver. You got to be at full strength if you're going to extend the plays. And you look at Alshon Jeffrey. Yes, his presence was great, but you saw him not operating at 100%. You saw Ronald Darby. Those positions, you need to be 100% to be pivotal to the game plan. And Sidney Jones, man, I'm sorry. The hamstring injuries, it sucks, but how much longer can you rely on the guy? Why we didn't want them to go and draft a corner in April. I'm thinking back and just scratching my head that they didn't, because I'm kicking myself in the butt saying that they shouldn't have. But now we're stuck in a rock and a hard place. You have to go get Jalen Ramsey. It's almost a need now, because the guys that you wanted to pay off, Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas, only 50% of them.
Well,
did.
And you had to see that, and you had to see that through, though. That's the thing, is why we continue to say that they shouldn't, because, even with Darby and Mills and how LeBlanc looked, and then the three promising guys. I mean, you had six promising younger corners, so it makes sense. Even, you know, drafting Jones after you missed out on Dalvin Cook, like, you cannot blame them for making that pick when you could potentially get your own version of Jalen Ramsey. But, you know, now when you see this continue to happen on a year in and year out basis since that torn Achilles, I mean, he's forcing your hand at this point. Again, you love the talent, but if you make him maybe a rotational corner, you know, you keep him on your roster just because of his talent.
Kick
he's not
off the team,
right?
Like,
yeah, he's not.
He's not going to be a cornerback one or two.
Yeah,
like
he
you
will
suspected.
Not. Right, you can't expect him to be CB one, and that's why, like you said, Jones was maybe going to be that guy, and now that he isn't, you've got to focus your sights on a Jalen Ramsey, because like we said earlier, Rasul Douglas, we love his talent and abilities, his niche strengths, but he is not a CB1. Jones was supposed to be that hope. I think they were hoping Darby maybe becomes that guy too, and they're just not panning out.
You clearly can't go with Maddox on the outside, like you can't justify keeping Avante Maddox, Sidney Jones, and Cravon LeBlanc all if they're going to be slot corners, because you're not going to rely on Sidney to be an outside corner if he can't stay healthy. And then you're just going to shove him inside, and now you have an overabundance inside because Maddox, we saw what happened last week. I don't want to see him on the outside. In the slot, he's excellent, but on the outside, that's a no-go. So you need an outside corner. And Rasul Douglas, he could stay on the field. He plays well. You just need a number one, and that has been the thing we've been looking for since Asante Samuel. And here we are once again. Time is a flat circle. The Eagles haven't had a cornerback since the days of Lito Shepard, Bobby Taylor. The list goes on and on. But, man, we haven't had many good ones, and we just need a reliable one. I am just sick of this revolving door of Chandon Sullivan, of Cravon LeBlanc before we knew what he was, and then now these guys that they're signing off of the street today, and Orlando Scandrick. Just get some solidity there and just define the position, because – Jalen Ramsey, outside of last week, hasn't missed a game since high school. So if you want somebody that can be on the field, go out and get your guy.
Absolutely, and that's the move it seems like has to happen now with Sidney Jones and just the health issues that continue to plague the secondary. Anyone else that you want to give a shout-out to in a negative light?
Nelson Agholor. No targets. Did it for a reason. Ran 12 personnel. This team operates much more efficiently. Has much more success out of 12 personnel, passing out of 12 personnel, rather. So, I mean, or running out of 12 personnel because Nelson Agholor isn't on the field, and passing out of 11, and even though he is on the field, you still put the ball elsewhere. So, yeah, he's in the basement for me. I think he's quite in the doghouse with this this offensive coaching staff right now, and I'm sure Carson Wentz can't trust him too much, seeing that he only targeted him one time last game. Especially with DeSean Jackson coming back. I can't see too many targets going Nelson's way the rest of the year.
All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday edition of the show. We will be back tomorrow. We're moving on to Jets week. We'll see if Sam Darnold plays. Not looking very likely. DeSean Jackson could be back for the Eagles. Things are looking up at 2-2. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast, 4 to 6 shows a week on any podcast provider or at LockedOnEagles.com. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.